feeding them.
You can get in this too. My name is Rasha Sharif, and this is Dominique Joseph, and we're here with the Chicago Revolution Initiative. That was started by Angel Buckley, and basically each day we're coming out bringing food and PPE, a mask and gloves, and protecting for people that are protesting and people that are like just outside and in need of food or water because of the
massive looting that was going
on. Yeah.
So you've been out since Friday or before?
We've been out since Thursday. So we've been just feeding babies. We've been starting off with breakfast. So we out here like 8 o'clock in the morning. We do breakfast. We do lunch. And then we do drop-offs to moms, diapers, wipes.
What corner is this?
This is 35th and King Drive, but we're actually all over the city. So as we get our requests in, no matter the address, we just dropping it off.
Okay, so, what's the name of the group again?
Chicago Revolutionary Initiative. I'm sorry, I got tongue tied.
Is it trademarked? I hope not. We need to spread it.
No, we actually started just 3 days ago. So, you know, we still knew. We just want to make sure we get out to the people and get them everything they need. It was a lot of looting going on. A lot of our stores are closed. So, yeah.
Where do you think this is going?
We're going up. We just want to support the black community. We just want to make sure that everyone eats. We got food. We got groceries. We have unlimited water. We have donations coming in every day. We have money for CPS kids.
Do you think this will change positively the power structure that's responsible for the racism that's led to this blow up and the murder that's all the murders that have taken place?
I think the effect that it has is that while people are grieving in whichever ways that they are, we're not here to judge anybody, but we're here to pass on, you know, what you can do to help other people and how we can help you. People that have resources, we're using them as allies so that they can also be of initiative to people that are in need. So with it being a lack of resources, we can't say what's going to change anything, but we can provide those resources, you know, whichever way we can to those in need. And like she said, they're doing drop-offs on Facebook. The CPS students, they are giving their thoughts and ideas on Facebook Lives, and they're being gifted with money. So whatever we can do to help, that's all we're here for. As a black community, we want to empower each other and give each other whatever they don't have. So.
I hear the word love a lot.
We love our people.
Family.
In describing relationships within the very diverse groups of people that are protesting and making known that enough is enough.
Yeah. Enough is enough, and we just want to make sure that we actually spread love, because that's really what we need. It's a lot of authority being pushed around from the president on down to the local police officers. So we just want to make sure, like, yo, we here. We might not need your support from Trump, but we got you. I got food. We got hot dogs. We got hamburgers, chips. It's babies that haven't eaten for days out here, like, due to the looting. So that's very important. Like, an infant, 3-month-old triplets not eating. That's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
So, you know, social media is one of the largest platforms. So that's how you can spread about, you know, the resources that you have. And then already there are people, you know, outside who don't have money and who are homeless. So with that being said, those are people that need assistance anyways.
And anybody can benefit from what you've got here.
Yeah. Exactly. Anybody. People already have daily struggles as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And racism on top of it is not okay. We don't need racism on top of our trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my rent. How am I going to pay my phone bill? Now I have to deal with a racist cop.
Yes, on purpose.
Or a racist president. That's not okay. It's not okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to say a few words about your experience? Have you been involved in the demonstrations, protests?
Yeah, I'm here for the demonstration about George Floyd and police brutality.
The car caravan organized, but plenty of bicycles will...
Yeah. People on foot as well. I was a part of an earlier demonstration, like a little up north, and, you know, there were a lot of people walking as well, like I was, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you been at some of the other protests that have taken place, like Saturday or Saturday night? Were you downtown?
No, I wasn't. No. Yeah. I was here, like, out and about on, like, Monday, but not on, on, like, Saturday or Sunday or anything like that. No.
Okay. Do you have any comments about what you've seen?
So far, I feel like it's been pretty civil. You know, I feel like a lot of the media narrative about, you know, these protests being very, like, tumultuous or whatever, I don't think really scans out from what I've seen at the very least. I feel like it's pretty like typical protest movement stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay on message.
Yeah.
I haven't really had participated much, but I mean, it's sad, but you understand it.
Personally, I understand it.
Yeah, it's just people are frustrated, you know? So it's a lot of people that really don't have another outlet to express that, and they're expressing it the best way that they can. So 400 years, and it's piled up, and then, you know, now people are dealing with being out of work, you know, not having these resources, and now they're just angry that people are, you know, and other people may be using it for, you know, other agendas, but it's just a...
Can't help that.
Yeah, you can't let that deter from the main point of the protest either, so...
Are you a college student, can I ask?
No, not currently, not anymore. Yeah.
What's it like since you've been out of college, if I could ask?
Up and down, you know, just trying to, it's been, you know, things have been better, but, you know, it's what it is. Yeah.
You have any thoughts about the Chicago police?
I think that they're, I think that there needs to be change to come from the top, and you have to change the system. You're not going to be able to change, you know, one or two cops at a time, because as long as the system allows it, then it's going to keep happening. So you know, once you change the system, then you'll change, then the people under it will change.
You know about CPAC, Civilian Police Accountability Council?
I don't.
No? It's the Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression is pushing this ordinance in the city council. It's already in the city council, a democratically elected civilian board to control the police, the hiring, the nature of the training, the relationships in the community, to have the power to hire and fire based on legitimate investigation if there's a complaint.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Check it out. StopPoliceCrimes.com.
.com. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Can I ask you a few questions about your experience over the weekend?
What do you want to know?
Just your own experience.
You could kind of feel the tension and the anxiety all over the downtown area the entire weekend. A bunch of people were frustrated and angry, and you kind of knew something was going to blow up. It wasn't a matter of, like, what. It was just a matter of when and who was going to escalate it. And it ended up ultimately being the police, from my perspective, seeing how everything was. And
I was in the car caravan Saturday. And that was I could only get as close as 8th Street, 800 South, before everything got plugged up. And I split, but I could tell from the people walking and whatnot that payback was coming.
Oh, yeah, it was incredibly, yeah, that's definitely a way of saying it. And even before, like, the streets were all congested and, like, people were, like, just out there, just, they were just out there, and it's like they wanted something to happen and like an immediate response to all that happened after being ignored for so long. So it was just a matter of time before people said enough is enough and just started taking that in their own hands. And unfortunately, like, the property ends up being what happens when you don't listen to the people and take immediate action within your own departments and sort it out in house. That's the unfortunate casualty.
This town goes back to John Bird. It's the torture of black and brown bodies to get convictions. You know about it, right? John Burge, the detective?
John Burge. I've vaguely heard about him, but, like, I don't really follow individual.
The city passed an ordinance to give compensation to prisoners let out of jail because he tortured them to confess. The state.
Was that Holman Square?
3 days Holman Square.
Oh, wow.
Roman Square is a continuation that should have stopped.
Absolutely. That's something that I actually haven't really thought about or hadn't even known about until you would have told me then. That's something worth looking into. But, like, a lot of the people out here are pretty young and, like, in their mid-20s, late teens, or even younger. And it's like...
Okay. Can we tell you about Sunday real quick, actually? I think it's pretty important. We were... we were in Logan Square demonstrating completely peacefully.
When is that?
That was Sunday night, past curfew, past 9 p.m. We started around five corners, or six corners there, by the Damon Blue Line. The demonstration was entirely peaceful. However, the entire night we were wholly corralled by police. She was separated from us. We couldn't even like stop to step off the sidewalk because the instant we would have done that, we would have been isolated from the group, surrounded by cops. They were at the front, the back, and walking on the sidewalk, surrounding the movement the entire time. It was really frightening. And when we knelt down at a couple pauses, I mean, I was very careful to like put myself in between my partner, who you just interviewed, who is black, and the police. It's important for other white folks who are out here protesting with their black friends, family, and loved ones to keep in mind that they should absolutely put themselves in between their loved ones and the police, because they're much less likely to hurt us than they are, you know, our black friends.
It was a pretty odd experience. It was like contrasted to like the Saturday where like it was entirely the protesters dictating the pace of like the protest and where we got to go and where we got to be. It was entirely us being like led and chaperoned by the police the entire time, being told where to go, what to do, where to go, and it felt like almost scripted.
The Proud Boys too that were hanging out with the cops. There was a Proud Boy. Yes, the whole time we were marching, the police who were escorting us were seen hanging out at several places, just shooting the with Proud Boys that were patrolling the neighborhood. So it was definitely a high-tense situation. But the Proud Boys are a white supremacist fascist group that have a strong presence in Logan Square and Chicago. They were set out there to antagonize protesters as well as to harass black, brown, gay, and transgender people that were, you know, out here moving, standing in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement.
You saw them?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen them since, too. It seems like it's just kind of obvious. I wasn't there that night. I was trying to meet up with them, but because of the police, it was basically I was like two blocks behind them all the time, in between the cops and them, and I just knew I wasn't going to ask them to wait for me, you know, at risk of something else. Also, it seemed like, you know, like they said earlier on Saturday, we had a lot of the control of what was going on. You know, the police dispatch was getting corrupted, they weren't able to communicate, and they just seemed kind of desperate to do anything. And seemed like on Sunday they came out twice as hard. You know, even like on Saturday, it seemed like they never gave us a chance to be peaceful. It was instant confrontation and provocation from them. I mean, I remember, like you said, a friend of mine said that, who you talked to earlier, that that at one point we saw a man before anything even started, an actual confrontation. One of the police had broken a baton and started sharpening it in front of us. You know, it was unbelievable.
What was he sharpening it with?
I'm not sure. Like, probably, it was right in front of Merchandise Mart. It was probably like a metal rod or something, you know, using like the infrastructure around.
He just kind of brandished it like, you know, like when a cobra like reaches back before it's about to like strike, kind of like giving us the warning like he was ready for whatever happened. It's like, but he didn't give us that chance to like at least offer a peaceful alternative. They were like already in like a combative mode and they were already pretty aggro. So it was like, how do you like appeal to the conscience or like ethics of somebody who's already in that type of mood or they want to hurt somebody?
Where do you think this is going to go? Do you think it'll affect the power structure? Do you think the economic system is largely responsible?
Absolutely. I think it's a start. Like, I mean, it's not going to be the overnight solution that everybody thinks it's going to be. Probably it's going to be a constant, ongoing struggle, and multiple people have to continue to care and continue the same intensity that they've had throughout the weekend, or else it's just going to dissipate and become another one of those things where they give us like a cosmetic solution of charging the guy with second, third degree murder and then like silently acquitting him in the background like they did with Laquan McDonald. Yeah, something has to give eventually. And I mean, as long as people keep up with this intensity and this level of care and this passion, I mean, eventually something has to come of it, but it has to be like ongoing. It can't just be like one day. Yeah, it has to come back to the people and has to start with people. And, like, it can't just be, like, one group of people. Everybody has to, like, take collective responsibility for what goes on in the community.
It has to be democratic. It has to answer to the people who are being affected.
I just wanted to say one thing, as far as like what's the next steps. The one concern that I have is I think the organizing has gone really well. It's been really peaceful. I mean, we see it right now where we are. But the concern I have is, as far as political action goes, like, we need leadership intensely. We need a manifesto. We need a call to action. We need a list of demands. Yeah, and I would say just one last thing is, like, especially I think the problem with the left and, like, as a leftist is we inherently don't believe in hierarchy or structure, or at least are very critical of it. And, like, when I see people like the Proud Boys and white supremacists, it seems like they're trying to take this movement and make it theirs in a way. And I'm concerned because people on the far right love hierarchy, love structure, so it's instantly going to be a little bit easier for them to organize political movements rather than, like, action, if that makes a bit of sense. It's not that they're stronger or smarter, but they're more willing.
What were the last
in the stop police crime?
Hey, they blocked off the rendezvous.
Cool. Can I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
About this weekend, the protests, the demand for justice.
Right. What about it?
Your take on how it's played out, whether you had a chance to protest yourself?
Nah, I didn't protest, but I was here. I was out when everybody was looting by my block. I live on 47 Cottage Grove. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that my block was safe, make sure that my car was safe, make sure my neighbors were safe.
Were you respected?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in my neighborhood know me pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could give a f*** less about that Walmart. I don't know if I can curse or not. I don't care about the Walmart, but I want to make sure that everybody was safe, everybody was moving how they was moving. I'm not one to steal anything or take anything because I don't need it. I got a car, I got a good job, I can go to a grocery store further away. But I think the point of trashing some of that stuff was made. You know what I mean? And Walmart will rebuild. They got good insurance. It's a big block, you know what I'm saying, thing.
Yeah.
So they'll come back. And if not, they didn't want to be here in the first place. So that's what I think. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of homies that are doing good things like this now. We'll be doing this all in between until everything is built back up. And
are
that's
you a
it.
Part of this providing food for people who need it?
I came out as a I'm friends with them. I'm not a member of the group that's doing this now, but I'm friends with the people that are doing this. Yeah.
You think the power structure in this town and the country's gonna
It's gonna have to shift. They don't have a choice, because the next time they're gonna be burning this mother down. Yeah. I mean, that this is a warning. I hope they understand that, not just in Chicago but all over the world, especially in this country. This was a warning shot, because they ain't burned like, I mean, you old enough to know when the other riots happening. They were burned. This did not burn, so take it as a warning, America, because the next time, and if these cops get off, Donald Trump get reelected, anything like that happen, next thing is going to be burn up, and that's
it. They'll be shooting back.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, too. I mean, and Chicago, we going to give it up. Chicago, we the gangbang capital, you know what I'm saying? We got plenty of guns, too. They're just not on the books, so their guns is registered. You know what I'm saying? We got guns by the pound. What are we talking about?
Nobody. You know about the campaign to get civilian control over the police department? Control the hiring, the firing.
Yeah, I'm from New York. So New York has a community police board. You know what I'm saying? That goes through all of that type of shit, do the same thing. I don't know if
this is about community power.
They were saying the same thing in New York when they were talking this thing. The police need better training. The police come off aggressive to start. I work at a school. I ain't going to say what school or what I do, but I work at a school. And one thing I know for sure, if I come at a kid like, rah, da, 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 like that, I'm going to get the energy back. And the police do that all the time with people that they don't have to. They turn things up when it does not have to be turned up. That's how they're training. So I don't care about no community board or nothing like that. Until the training of how the police are trained changes, then it's going to be the same thing.
Well, CPAC would have the power to make training changes.
Well, then I'm for that then. If that's the case, I never heard of it. I don't know about the Chicago version, but if that's the case, I'm for it. But what I know is that I've seen this community board thing previously.
Those are just advisory boards. We're not talking about advising.
Right.
We're talking about power. Mm-hmm. Take it away from the mayor. Take it away from the dysfunctional city council that have shown that they're corruptible. Put a handle on the FOP. Take away their ability to threaten politicians. Take away their impunity. Stop police crimes is what it's called.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. But the police is just the first step. The police are just an expression of a greater issue. You know what I'm saying? They're just a function of the state. They're the military arm of the state. You know what I'm saying? That's all the police are. They don't really have any power to make anything happen or not happen. They're just a bully. for the state. And there's other countries that have good models, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in England, the police don't even have guns. Or very London few, or whatever. Yes. Yeah, very few.
They've been trained to use their hands.
Right. And as I'm saying, it goes down to goes back to training. Right. Now, America is a much different situation. America's a much different situation. People got concealed and carry. Everybody got guns, the Second Amendment. Like, guns are a part of the culture of this country. And that's what this is about, changing the culture of the country. Because we're going to stick around. Empires fall. Like, I don't know why America feel like they get so, like, great that they can't fall like any other.
It's the news media and the lousy education.
Well, I mean, after the sixth grade, most people know how to read. You don't need a school for that. And that's another thing we're learning right now, is that we don't need schools to teach. Everybody at home learning, parents, family and parents that are going to do the right thing about their kids doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're going to be fine. The parents that don't, they won't. And that doesn't matter if they're going to school every day or not. And that's another thing we're going to learn. That's how we're going to pay for all of this, by making school remote. Everybody going to work remote. All these companies going to learn in that. That, like, not having to pay all this money to be downtown for an office or a small office and have people work from home, it's going to shift the paradigm of...
Going to spend all that gas money.
Yeah, it's going to shift
all
the paradigm.
On
the highway or on the, with the buses or the trains even. You know what I'm saying? It's going to shift. We're looking at a paradigm shift. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, the last time was 100 years ago. 100 years later, it's happening again. History tell you everything you need to know.
Yes. While you're here, can I ask you a few questions or ask about you? Were you in the car caravan on Saturday?
I was at the caravan Saturday and also the protest that was held at Wrigley Field yesterday. And today's demands are directly towards our mayor, Lori Lightfoot. She has been funding the police. Which has been taking away funds from other important areas such as education, healthcare, access to healthcare, poverty issues that are directly targeting the Black and Brown communities. And so we are demanding that she takes action against supporting systematic injustice within Black and Brown communities. And I think that's important to be very transparent with the community, and the community understands that they have control on who the officials are. Because the police are here to protect the community, but they're only protecting themselves. They're not above the law, and that's why we're here to protest.
And people on the force who shouldn't be cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about accountability, and that's the issue at hand right now. There is no accountability, and people in power are abusing their position to support those who are committing these crimes. Mm-hmm.
And yet, why did you become involved in this? Have you been abused by the police?
Personally, no, I have not. As an Asian American, I think I definitely do have my own privileges, because I am light-skinned. However, I was introduced to all of these injustices because I was involved with urban education. I am a teacher. Actually, I just graduated and got my license. And because I want to teach in CPS, my students are going to reflect Black and Brown identities. And I am here to protect them. I'm here to fight for them because it is definitely their future looks grim without any change, and we need to promote change right now. There is no later. There is no let's delay this. Yes, it is immediate. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a while. Just because we do these protests right now, it's not going to change anything for the long term because it's systematic, and that's why we need to continue doing this.
Well, you saw how quickly they shut down the country out of fear of the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Right. And speaking about COVID-19, you see statistics that Black and Brown communities have higher percentage of getting COVID, and that speaks volume in itself. It's just an all-around problem.
Why?
Because most of them are essential workers, so they are exposed. Most of them do not have access to health care. And
are you from Chicago?
I am not. I'm actually from the northern suburbs, the suburb in Wheeling.
Oh.
But I will be moving down to the city in about a month. Mm-hmm.
To be in the CPS?
Yes, to be in CPS.
Have you been hired?
Be careful. Not yet. I am still in the process of interviews because I just graduated. But yeah, this is more important than that. So interviews are being held at a hold, at a pause, but it'll eventually come to it.
And where did you get your undergraduate and your teaching certificate?
At UIC, University of Illinois at Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Sure, my name is Jen, and I'm here to support my Black brothers and sisters because it's the right thing to do.